Chapter 7. New Year's Eve. Not everything went perfectly during my stay in New York. A few days after the Knicks game, I got a phone call from Elaine. "Hi, Antonio," she said. "It's Elaine speaking." "Hi. Are you ready to give me that tour of Central Park?" I asked. "Well, that's why I'm phoning," she said. "I won't be able to go with you." My heart sank. "My parents have given me a surprise Christmas present," Elaine continued. "They've bought me a plane ticket to spend Christmas with them in Chicago. I leave tomorrow morning." "So, won't I see you again before I leave?" I asked sadly. "I'm going back to Spain on the 2nd of January." "We'll see each other. I'll be back on the 31st in the morning," she said. "Have you made any plans for New Year's Eve yet?"
"Not yet," I replied. "Jason still doesn't know if he'll have to work that night at the restaurant."
"Well, my roommate, Elise, is a pianist and singer," said Elaine. "She'll be playing in a hotel with a view of Times Square for New Year's Eve. She'll only play during the dinner part of the evening. A dance band will play afterwards. A few of the people from the Thanksgiving dinner and I are going to reserve a table there. Would you like to come with me?"
"I'd love to," I answered.
"Great," she said. "I hope that Jason doesn't have to work that night. He should be with us on New Year's Eve. I'll phone you when I get back from Chicago. Have a Merry Christmas." I put down the phone feeling very fortunate. I couldn't think of a better way to spend New Year's Eve and finish my trip to New York. Jason's family invited me to spend Christmas with them. They live in a suburban neighborhood in New Jersey. "Do you know how to ice skate?" Jason asked me the day before going to his family's house.
"Yes, I do," I answered.
"Good, because we're going to go ice skating in a very special place," he said. He took me to Rockefeller Center, a group of impressive buildings that were built in the 1930s. There's a little bit of everything in these buildings. There are theaters, corporate offices, nice restaurants, and even the main studios for one of the national TV networks. However, during Christmas, the most special parts of Rockefeller Center are the outdoor ice skating rink and the enormous Christmas tree above it. The tree is never less than 20 meters high. "There are more than 5 miles of lights on that tree," Jason said as we skated under it. I had a wonderful time skating under the big tree, surrounded by skyscrapers. I had never felt such a Christmas atmosphere as I did then. Jason's family was very nice, and I had a pleasant Christmas with them, but I couldn't help looking forward to New Year's Eve. I became even more excited when Jason was told that he didn't have to work at the restaurant that night. I was going to spend New Year's Eve with all my New York friends. Perfect. Elaine phoned me around noon on the 31st, and we agreed to meet at 7:30 that evening to walk over to the hotel. She was happy to hear that Jason was coming as well. After putting down the phone, Jason and I went to get the tuxedos that we had rented for the evening. It was quite cold when Jason and I met Elaine in front of her apartment building. When we reached Times Square, I was surprised to see that it was already almost full. There were thousands of people there.
"Are all these people going to stay here until midnight?" I asked.
"Sure," answered Jason.
"But it's freezing," I said.
"Yeah, but it's also New Year's Eve, and they're in Times Square," Jason said. "The weather isn't important to them." I looked around and saw that he was right. The whole square was filled with a festive atmosphere, and no one looked cold. Personally, I was happy that we would be celebrating indoors. We went into the hotel and took off our coats. Then we went into the hall for the New Year's party. It was beautiful and had enormous two-story windows that looked down on Times Square. There was also a terrace that we could walk out on and hear the festive crowd's noise from below. "You look very pretty," I said to Elaine as we walked to our table. "Your dress is spectacular."
"Thank you," she replied. "And I'm happy to be with such a good-looking guy."
Most of our friends were already sitting at the table, and it was great to see everyone together again. We drank champagne and talked, and Elaine's roommate, Elise, began to play the piano and sing. She was really good. Soon the waiters began serving a delicious dinner.
"Is something wrong?" Elaine asked me while we were being served the main course. "You've got a funny look on your face."
"I'm just taking a minute to appreciate everything around me," I answered. "The food is delicious, the company is wonderful, the view of Times Square is great, and the music is lovely. Everything feels so elegant."
I took my glass of champagne and stood up. "I want to drink a toast to all of you," I said to the people at my table. "You've all helped to make this the most special trip I've ever had. Thank you all." Everyone was enjoying themselves so much that the time passed very quickly. Suddenly, it was 11:50 p.m., and we went out onto the terrace for the final countdown to New Year. The whole of Times Square was full now. The ball began to fall, and everyone in the square began to count the last 10 seconds. 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year! The noise from the crowd was incredible. I hugged and congratulated all my New York friends. Then I turned to Elaine and got the sweetest New Year's Eve kiss I've ever had. We all spent the rest of the night dancing and laughing. The sun was beginning to rise when we finally left the hotel. "When does your flight leave?" Elaine asked me as we stood in front of her apartment building. Jason was standing a few meters away to give us a little privacy. "At 4 tomorrow afternoon," I answered. "Can we meet for coffee in the morning?" she asked. "I want to give you something before you leave." "Sure," I said. Jason and I slept until late in the afternoon. I spent the rest of the evening packing and getting ready for my return to Spain. I was already trying to find a way to come back to New York as soon as possible. The next day, I met Elaine in a Greek cafe. While we were having a cup of coffee, she gave me an envelope. "Here," she said. "Please don't open it until your plane is in the air." "What is it?" I asked. "It's a little something to remember me by," she answered. We exchanged addresses and sadly said goodbye outside the cafe. Then I walked back to Jason's house to get my things. "Why don't you come back in the summer?" Jason asked me as I was getting into a cab. "There are so many other things that you can do here when it's warm." "I'd love to," I said. "Wish me luck in finding a way to come back, okay?" "Okay, have a safe trip," Jason said. Once my plane was in the air, I took out the envelope that Elaine had given me and opened it. I pulled out a photograph of the two of us at the Empire State Building. I turned it over and saw that she had written something on the back. "I've got a copy of this photo. I'll look at it often and remember the lovely time I spent with you. You're a very special person. Please don't forget me and come back soon. Love, Elaine." I smiled and spent the rest of the flight thinking of her, the wonderful city she lived in, and the new friends that I had made there.